Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, you Halloweener touchers? You, Kevin Goatee, gutting the sacred cow. It's our Halloween episode. So I reached out and found Sanique Smythe, who picked an interesting film, Amityville Horror, the original, not that Ryan Reynolds nonsense reboot. We don't do reboots on here. Well, who did I get to sit in as co-host? Why, Delvin Cox, of course. Why not? It's been a minute. Before we get to it, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, if you want to say hi to us. And don't forget, we love those 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence reviews. Thanks to my pal Richie G for the latest one I saw on iTunes today. That was really heart-touching. I was really moved by his constant support and then saying this is the best project he's ever seen me in. Man, that was really kind of you. Enough patting myself on the back. I could be here all weekend. Believe me, I will. Let's see if Sneak's got the goods to unpossess Amityville Horror.
Gather around.
Price check on Vagiclean aisle 5. I repeat, price check on Vagiclean aisle 5. That's Vagiclean. We've got a customer down here with a full-on fallopian fungus. She's baking a loaf of bread, and I think it's sourdough. Guest host Delvin Cox, welcome back. Do you know what movie that quote is from?
That sounds very familiar, but I do not remember the movie.
Boy, you are as bad as Kevin Israel in this department. Sanique Smythe, welcome to the podcast, my dear. How are you tonight?
Hello, I'm good.
Sanique, do you have any idea what quote that film is from? If you need to give it to again, I'll give it to you again.
I have no idea, but I'm happy to learn that it's a movie quote. I thought this is how you're going to introduce me.
No.
You thought he was having a stroke?
Yeah. I was like, okay.
That wouldn't be the first time.
You guys are edgy.
Like, Sanique has got a vaginitis problem, folks. This is me just blowing our shit up here. No.
Like, wow, thanks.
We're wilding out today.
I don't know the movie, no.
The movie is Me, Myself, and Irene.
Ah.
A Jim Carrey overlooked, I feel... classic. Kevin Goatee, Delvin Cox, and Sanique Smythe has joined us for the first time. Sanique, we are glad to have you. Sanique has chosen a film not as blatant as a sacred cow, I feel, but nonetheless has said, ha, interesting choice, and I'll let it fly. She has chosen 1979's Amityville Horror, a budget at the time of $4.7 million, a box office haul of $86 million. Turn that into 2023 money. $19.7 million budget. $362.1 million. Holy Christ, Delvin Cox. That's a monster ROI.
I'm going to push back a little bit on you, Kevin Goatee. I would say this is a fitting movie to be gutted because this movie inspired a lot of other movies in modern times, like The Conjuring, The Nun, and all these movies that are making billions of dollars now, kind of come from this movie right here. This is kind of the first of one of those type of movies. So yeah, this movie is a classic.
Dare I say it also inspired kind of sort of Blair Witch Project, a film based on quasi true events, but Blair Witch really turned the corner on that to make it seem like it was a real film. And that, of course, film done by Dan Dunn on this very podcast.
And I was on that episode.
I know you were. Come on, let me host, God damn it. Delvin guest hosted, yes. Quotes from this film. Who was on the phone? Bunch of static, probably a collect call from Japan. What a reach. I thought the World War II anti-Japanese sentiment would have died more by that time, and you would have had more of like an anti-Russian or anti-Iranian jab. At the time, way more appropriate than the damn Japanese collect calls. Like, all right. This film is not quotable otherwise, I found. Delvin Cox, are you going to prove me wrong?
You forgot the main one that everybody always says and is referencing every movie. Get out.
That's the one that everybody knows. But I just felt if someone said get out, I just feel it's so generic.
But you got to say it in the way the movie said it, like, get out.
Been done a million different times in a million films. I guarantee if you were to pull 10 people and say, what is this from? And say it in that exact voice, I think maybe two at most can nail this. I could be wrong.
They would assume it's Get Out, probably.
Yeah, fair. They probably would assume it's Get Out. Yeah, because that actually happened in that movie, too.
They did.
Sonik, what about you? Any quotes that you found to be jumping off the screen?
Honestly, no. And that's why I don't like this movie, because it doesn't have, I feel like, as many quotable or memorable moments as I feel like a horror classic ought to.
Well, we're going to jump right into it. Five fun facts. This one blew my taint away. Because the movie was made on a relatively modest budget, James Brolin took less money up front, but with the promise of 10% of the gross of sales after its release. After the time, it became an unexpected blockbuster. At that time, it was in the top 10 of all time in 1979. He received about $17 million for this film, which in 1979 money is a lot.
It's pretty smart.
He pulled the Nicholson Batman before Nicholson and Batman.
Yeah. It's a good move.
Did he do that for Batman? Sorry.
He did. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely he did. In fact, it's some stupid amount which he did it at. In fact, I want to see the Nicholson.
Someone else did that in a movie famously. Was it Robert Downey Jr.? Somebody else that did that in a big movie.
He agreed to work for $6 million, says Google. And he made $90 million off of that film.
Wow.
By taking the points in the end. As well, I see 60 million now. And that's a 2020. Who cares? 60 million, 90 million. Ah. And that's 1989 money. So that's why Jack.
Yeah. See, I was raised by immigrant parents. So I was not taught to like play the long game. It's like, get the money now. You never know what's going to happen. A war? A coup might happen. You might want to get it now.
The dollar may be devalued like Greece, and you're holding a bunch of drachmas, and you're like, ah, damn it. What was that? I was reading the book about, it's about 1980s rock and roll and how it fizzled out. The one guy engineer for Poison said he wants the $15,000 instead of taking 1% of the album sales, which of course went bonkers. Whoops. All right, fact number two. At around 20 minutes, Margot Kidder's character is washing the dishes and she is humming the love theme from Superman, where she was, of course, played Lois Lane.
Oh, okay. That's a cool fact.
That's cute.
Didn't pay attention. Didn't like Superman. Think that movie is disgustingly overrated. By your silence, you are like, I disagree, or not a bad take.
I'm trying to think which one is it. Because I always mix up one and two.
The first one. Christopher Reeve, that was the first one.
I always mix up one and two. One of them I care nothing about, and one of them I actually enjoy.
I have not seen either of them.
The Zod one is the best one, and that's two.
That's the one I remember. That's right. The one I always think about.
Gene Hackman one is terrible with the first one, where he spins Earth backwards to try and go back in time, and it's so dumb.
And he's trying to stop a real estate agent. Yeah.
From buying California. It's a Donald Trump kind of thing here that we're doing is the villain, ironically. For years, number three, rumors have circulated the movie was supposed to be filmed in the actual house in Amityville, New York, but the production team was too frightened to film inside. The reality is the town of Amityville denied the studio to film any scenes whatsoever to distance themselves from any publicity. Therefore, the production team found a two-story colonial house in Toms River, New Jersey, an hour and a half south of where I am right now. Oh. A third-floor facade was added along with the crescent moon windows on both sides of the house. Almost all the interior scenes filmed at MGM Studios, though. So there you have it. Number four, the Lutz family went on to live a relatively normal life free of paranormal activity after escaping the house, but their peace was short-lived. George and Kathy Lutz divorced in the late 80s. George died of heart disease on May 8th, 2006 in Clark County, Nevada, which is Vegas pretty much. And Kathy died of emphysema August 17th, 2004 in Scottsdale, Arizona. The three children are adults, obviously, and remain out of the public eye. They also changed the kids' names for the film.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Would you like to take guesses on who was considered for the role of George Lutz? I'll give you hints. All these names were monster names in the 70s. Huge. A-list all the way. I would even say A-plus for three of them. Four names. Go.
I have no clue. I'm not that old, Kevin Goatee.
God
damn
you,
Robert Redford up there somehow.
He is not, but he's in that kind of fraternity. You're right. That fraternity would be quite logical to think that. Any other guesses? Delvin, I think there's one out here that you should nail, but you're disappointing me.
Al Pacino.
I think we got a Spectre in the house. Is that what we're gonna do?
I got it.
No.
Damn it. No.
I like when you do leg stretches in the bedroom. I like when you do leg stretches in the bedroom. No, I thought easy one was Harrison Ford. That was an easy one I thought you would get.
I don't think of Harrison Ford. I guess that's right. Yeah.
Motherfucker, he was in Star Wars and Apocalypse Now. That came out in 77, so he had 2 years before this came out.
I wasn't even born in 77, Kevin.
Yeah, you know what, Delvin Cox? I wasn't born when JFK was assassinated, but I still know what the fuck happened.
You sure?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford gives very very big stepdad energy, so I could see it. Yeah, like stepdad, kind of an asshole stepdad. I can see it.
How about these other three for you, Sunique? Did they give that same kind of energy? Burt Reynolds.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Chomping that gum. Well, you know, 3:15 here. The goddamn ghosts keep coming around here. Number three, James Caan.
Oh, James Caan would have been cool.
That would have been interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Number four, the aforementioned Christopher Reeve.
Oh.
No. You're right. Not grungy, dirty enough, not douchey enough, as you kind of put
too
it.
Too pretty. Chris, too handsome.
Oh. Yes.
That closes five fun facts. We're going to kick it right on over to let's get the fans asking some questions. And you know what time it is, Delvin Cox. It's time to ask
Gutter.
You never let me down, pal. At Newark Knight, Brandon Oglesby. Love his questions. They're so on point and meta. So thank you, sir. Has this movie over-sensationalized the original killing, and is it one of the reasons this movie sucks? That's the first part of his question. That question goes to you first, Sunique.
That is an excellent question, because that actually is one of my points.
Okay, then we'll get to that then. His second half of the question.
I'll dig into it, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a movie that has sensationalized a real-life killing or killer to the same extent as Amityville?
Ooh.
I have a few answers to this.
Listen, while Sonic stalls, Delvin answers. Go for it.
The Jeffrey Dahmer series.
No, not to this level.
That series blew up big time. And a lot of people didn't know nothing about Jeffrey Dahmer. They knew he killed people until that series came out. And people were shocked that, hey, a lot of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims were black. That became like a big thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe not to the way of Amityville, where it's just like people like making copycat Amityville films, but that movie, that Netflix series blew up pretty big.
This movie made a ton of money. I mean, I don't know. What was the second half of that? Sensationalized, a real life killing or killer. If you want to stretch, I'll throw in the guys from Goodfellas. That whole Ray Liotta, Henry Hill stuff, all the mob guys. I mean, that brought everything to a
boil. That's like most mob movies, I can argue.
Sure.
The Godfather in there too.
You know,
but
what?
That's unreal. But that wasn't real though. Goodfellas.
It's not real, but just like the general, you know.
I have the answer of all answers.
Okay, let's go.
Every movie with Adolf Hitler in it.
Oh, that's the easy way out, Delvin. Shame on
you. But that's the answer, because like every movie that you see with Hitler in it, it kind
of... Don't make me do it in defense of Hitler. Because I'm like...
It's so is Jojo Rabbit a good indicative film for that kind of answer to Brandon's question? No.
It's kind of become a thing where you can just put Hitler in all types of pop culture and it's acceptable. Like he was in
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Is that an acceptable answer? Where he signs?
I was gonna say South Park. No. That was what I was gonna say. He was in South Park being the devil's bitch. He was in like I said, Jojo Rabbit. He was in a lot of shit. Like I never knew there'd be so much movies.
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards. So many movies about Hitler.
Fake movie.
After Hitler. Yeah.
Fake. There was a movie.
Well, he's the ultimate big boogeyman, though. So I feel like he's kind of, which isn't to say it's okay, but I feel like they do tend to extract him from the real person. He's kind of like Hitler TM versus like.
Exactly. Hitler, like, that's the point.
So like, okay. All right. That's the point.
Huh. Let's see what Google has to say about any that are true stories. Let's see. All these are fake. Seven, Zodiac. Oh, Monster with Charlize Theron. That was a
never seen
story.
That one.
I almost said that one. And also, this is okay, not as big as this movie, but I am a Lifetime movie head. Lifetime has a penchant for movies starring a woman who kills a man, kind of like being a little bit overly sympathetic. I think about the Jodi Arias movie, which made me walk away thinking that Travis Alexander might have deserved it. And I'm like, I don't think that's what I should take away from this movie. She was a murderer.
I'm just stuck more in the fact that you as a black woman are in a Lifetime movie fan. That's such a white girl thing.
No, it's not.
Oh, no.
It's not.
Okay.
No.
I stand corrected.
Black women love Lifetime.
Do they really? Okay.
They
love true crime.
Well, all women love true crime, to generalize. My wife loves true crime. Women love that as a whole. I just did not. Yes. But you threw me for a curveball. I will defer to my African-American friends on this one.
I've been a Lifetime movie head since I was like a small child because my mom watched them and she'd let me watch them with her.
So. I think your mother needs to be called into court here for parenting choices.
Kevin.
Maybe. Yeah.
Lifetime movies are so popular with black women. They are starting to make Lifetime movies about black women. Like they have like the Whitney Houston one. They have the TLC one. They have the like just a whole bunch of them. The Aaliyah one. It's a thing.
So if anyone's listening, once the strike is over, I do some acting. I'm available. I would love to be in a Lifetime movie.
Can I just throw out a random number and you guys tell me if I'm right or wrong? 25% of those Lifetime movies that have black women in them star Monique. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
Really? Okay. Okay. Boy, I'm way off tonight on my guesses. All right.
Yeah.
That's why I have you guys on here to help me out with this. Let's see. Next Ask a Gutter is coming from at Lord Snurts. Man, oh, man. Oglesby, Snurts, Taco Shirt, Krill, and Joe Loves Cam. Those four dudes just bang out monster questions. And here's his. And I made a joke of it in my notes, so I'll just let Snurts take it from me. Would you take Eddie Murphy's advice from Delirious and get the fuck out as soon as the house started whispering?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where white people like me go, yeah, no, guess what? And I'll talk about it in my notes, but they stay for what, 14 days, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
At Taco Shirt Krillin, have you ever completely unexplainably had ghost-like experiences in real life? I feel like most people have one. I will go to you, Sanique, again as a guest. Have you had a ghost experience?
Absolutely. I believe in ghosts. Should I tell the story? It's very quick.
Of course. I want to hear this. Know? Yeah, of course.
So after my grandmother died, I came home to my family's house where she had passed away. And it was the morning after she passed away, and we were in her bedroom, and we were going through her things, not looking for money. But we were looking to see.
Come on, Will. Like. Come on, Will.
We wanted to see if she left because she'd been sick for a while. If she left any, like, she kept a lot of diaries. If she left any notes about, like, you know, anything she'd wanted when she passed. So we're looking for those things. And one thing that passed my mind was that she'd had this watch she'd worn my entire life. I'd known her. And I was like, you know, I really want to know where that watch is. It's the only thing I want of hers, right? I didn't say it to anybody. I just thought it. Passing thought. So later on that day, I go into my old bedroom and I find the watch on my bedside table. This is weird. Mm-hmm. So I ask everybody in the house, I'm like, did you move the watch? Did you bring it here? Everyone is adamant that they did not move the watch. No one knew that I wanted the watch except for me. And I am convinced that she like placed that there. Like it was not there and then it was there. So. Wow.
And how much did you sell that for?
I still have it.
I'm sure you do.
But definitely a ghost.
I've got one. The first and only time playing Taboo. I take that back. Ouija board.
Okay.
Playing Ouija board, and my friends had played it before, and I was like, and I said, Jesus Christ, this is fucking stupid. I'm at my house. The phone rings, and I pick up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
On the other end, Jesus Christ. On the other end.
It was a Japanese, actually.
Yeah, it's all from Japan. Excellent, Sanique.
Yeah.
And I go, you're kidding me, and just started hanging up. And I told my friend, they go, who was that? I go, it just went, and then hung up. And then they go, that's it. And they pop the eye out of the Ouija board little thing and threw the board game away and put it away. And that was it. They go, that's it. We're leaving. Goodbye.
But let me find out that Jesus Christ has bad like connection. Like even he can't get this.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is on Boost or Cricket Mobile.
Call on a track phone.
Yeah.
Where are you at? Nazareth, actually.
Zing. Bethlehem, yo. That's the OG city. Delvin Cox, any ghost stories?
Oh, I have plenty. I did a whole podcast about that. Like I guess the common one I always tell is the fact that when I was younger, like around my college years, I had sleep paralysis.
You had what?
Sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. What exactly is that for everyone who doesn't know?
Okay. It's when you wake up in your sleep with your eyes open, everything like that, but you cannot move. Uh-huh. So you're very aware that you're awake, but you can't move. And a lot of times during this, you would see, like in black culture, it's called like the demon on your back. So you'll see like, all the old black women know what I'm talking about. See that fucking, you know, you see like a spirit just staring at you. And it's happened like, I want to say like 3 or 4 times when I was in college. It was like, it's a creepy feeling because you can't move. You can't speak. You can't do anything. So all you have to do is just lay there and wait till it goes away. And it is terrifying.
I've had something similar to that happen where a girl decided to get down and do me a little favor by I was standing up and she went down on her knees and grabbed those hair scrunchie, pulled her back in the head, and I couldn't move for 5 minutes. It was fantastic. Didn't say a word. Shitty cheap joke. Whatever. I'm feeling saucy. Next question from Ask a Gutter. Joe loves Kim. How tired are Amityville residents of hearing this?
I imagine a lot.
So tired.
Yeah. And his follow-up, he says, if you watch the sequel starring Paulie from Rocky, you'll see a brief scene that borders on sibling incest. I'm more worried about seeing Paulie from Rocky without him being completely covered in clothes from head to toe because he's not an attractive man.
Very accurate.
At Almighty...
I know the residents are so tired of it. The current owners of the house actually changed the windows so that people would stop coming by to see the house. So if I'm sure they're upset, I'm sure the people who live at least on Ocean Drive are like over it. I've never felt bad for people in Long Island until this movie. I'm just like, it must be so hard for you.
Where are you based at, Sinead?
I am currently in Brooklyn,
but
I am new to New York. I am in Clinton Hill.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I used to work in Manhattan, live in North Jersey. So, all right, so you're not far. No, it's like that another Netflix series, The House. I forgot the name of it. I didn't watch it. My wife did. It's about there's a house in Westfield, Jersey, where a serial harasser with mail letters to this house that people just bought, saying, "I know what time you get home. I'm going to kill you, da 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 da." And then people just keep stopping at the house and doing all that stuff. That's another one.
I remember that.
Those homes that people harass. There was another one, too, I was thinking. I'm like, shame on you if you bought the house from Full House where everyone's going to stand outside and take pictures, expecting to see DJ Tanner and Stephanie and Uncle Joey coming out and saying, "Cut it out." Like, you should know better. If that's the house you're going to buy, get ready for a bunch of dopey ass tourists to do some peace signs in front of your house while singing every move you make.
I feel like places like that should just be bought and like just made tourist traps. Like, don't live there. Like, because you know what's going to come with it. Like the Amityville house, like the Full House. I think they actually did that with the Fresh Prince house. They're like, "All right, you just come in here and look at stuff in the house and stuff like that." But just don't.
You can also, Brady Bunch house, the Brady Bunch house was on the market. Oh, and another one that's actually not far from me at all. The Sopranos house, the exterior. Oh. Yeah, is about 20 minutes from me. And when the show was on, people were just nonstop going around there and checking that out. But no, Tony's not coming down in his slippers and to go get his paper and yelling about gabagool.
Also, the Home Alone house is a famous one. And I used to live in Chicago. I think it's Winnetka. Or yep. Wilmette, one of those nice neighborhoods. It's a very popular one. People drive past a lot. Yeah.
Just make it a tourist trap.
Funny as hell if someone just put the Michael Jordan on a train nonstop in the Home Alone house and people would drive by. Oh, look, perfect. And then like a sign that says, "If the wet bandits could be stopped here, so can you," is more of an anti-deterrent for burglars. And here is Delvin Cox's best friend at Almighty Ray, Ray Stacanis. What's your favorite house or building from a movie? He said, off the top of my head, I got to go Ghostbusters Fire Station with a sliding pole. So what's your favorite house or building from a movie?
Ray likes sliding down poles. All right. I guess that's him.
checks out.
Okay. I know this is. It doesn't age well, given this person's history. I have to see the Cosby Show house, though. Like, I grew up seeing that house and just thinking, like, this is luxury. Like, I want to live in this house. And especially now living in Brooklyn and seeing so many, like, exterior, like, brownstones like that is still just, like, if I could just live in this house, you know. But he's canceled.
Yeah. Not really. He's back on tour, so he decided to ignore that cancellation.
Wait, isn't he half blind?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's funny. After he got out of prison, he was healed.
Is that how glaucoma works?
Oh, okay. Yeah. How convenient.
Yeah. Delvin Cox, you get a house that you would hang out in besides Nino Brown's house?
That one too. the Batcave, clearly. Like, you know, right. I'm staying with Batman. Got in the cars and stuff. Cool as shit.
I thought about that, but I have an answer very similar, actually adjacent. I would say Wayne Manor in the 60s Batman house.
Oh.
Because I have a servant and a maid, but I don't need Dick Grayson there. That's a little, no thank you. Just bring me the bevy of young women there and that. But yeah, the Manor seems pretty dope.
It does.
What else we have here? Is that going to close out Ask a Gutter? Looks like it is going to close out Ask a Gutter. Thanks, everybody, for asking questions. a pretty light one and not as much hatred toward you, Sonique. So you escaped the bullets for this one. So, by the way, no one listens to the end of podcasts. We get our plugs out right here in the beginning. Sonique, tell everybody what you're up to, where we can find you, all that good stuff you want to share.
Yeah, thank you. So I am a comic and a podcaster. You can find me on social media, on Twitter at Seynique, that's S-E-Y-N-I-Q-U-E, and on Instagram at Say_Smythe, that's S-E-Y_S-M-Y-T-H-E. My two podcasts, I have one called We Die First, which is a horror podcast hosted by two Black horror fans, four Black horror fans. It's a lot of fun. I do it with my best friend, Andrew, who is also a comic based in Chicago. So it's a great time. And I also have another podcast called Everybody Wants Something, which is a Degrassi podcast, because I'm mentally ill. And we are watching all of Degrassi from the 80s onwards. So that's what my life's going to look like for the next few years.
Very, very eclectic taste, I will say that.
Yes.
What did you think of? Did you see that?
And Canadians,
right? I was going to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Why didn't you marry John Hughes? Not John Hughes. <I know. laughs> One of those guys. What got you doing the horror one? Did you think did you see the new horror film that came out this summer that's kind of spoofing the Black People Die First one?
The Blackening.
That's it. Yeah.
So we actually started a podcast before that. I'm not saying they stole the idea. They definitely did not. But it was nice to be like, this is amazing. Like, you know, cinematic parallels. But I grew up loving horror. To your point about my mom making poor choices, I was allowed to watch anything. I think the first horror movie I watched was probably Halloween. I had to have been in like the second grade. So I was like,
Christ.
I was just watching anything I wanted. And you know, all I have now is anxiety, but just watching a lot of horror just got me into it. And I decided like, it'd be super fun just to do a horror podcast and kind of riff on, you know, the trope of being the first to die. And also just like, after every episode, we talk about, you know, how the movie would be different if it were a Black movie. So we kind of like rewrite it based off what we could talk about.
I like it. It's a dope idea.
How did your husband woo himself into your life? Did he buy you a knockoff copy of that thing from the Phantasm, that little floating knife ball?
I wish. He actually does not like horror movies.
Got it.
Oh.
Yeah, so we work somehow.
most of them are bad. I'll see some of them, but most are just... It's so funny. The horror fans are like, hey, it's the middle of August. It's time to start saying 85 days till Halloween. Start doing horror film marathons. Like, you guys are... Ill. Not you. You're nice. Delvin Cox.
I mean, I've started too, so you're not wrong.
Delvin Cox, what are you up to besides breathing in that microphone so heavily? Lean back a little bit. Like you're watching a 900. But I almost got Sonique to do a spit take. God damn it.
Good job.
Thank you. I told you I'm good.
I'm on a multitude of podcasts. I guess the main one is the Delvin Cox Experience. Well, you know. That's the one I always talk about here. But the other one, the other main one, I guess, is Play Some Video Games podcast, where we talk about video games and stuff like that. It's kind of a fun podcast about video games that people love, apparently. They love listening to it and having fun and making fun of me.
Did you play that new Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order game? Boy, that thing dragged.
It's good.
I hated it. I love the last, all the ones. But this one, I got so angry at it, I just hate finished it. And it took me way longer. I was not happy with it. I hate the puzzles. I hated how long it went on. All that. Just let me go be a Jedi. Don't let me go try and, you know, raise levers and use the force to move these objects. No, stop it. Let me just go and be a Jedi. It's stupid. It went on way, 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 way too long. KevinGoatee.com for other dates and shenanigans. Also gutting the sacred cow, gmail.com. Excuse me. Fantasy football jibber jabber, where myself and Nick Whitmer tell you the best players to start and sit, as well as best NFL bets for each and every week. Check that out on the YouTube and give us the follow on Fantasy Football Jibber on Instagram, Facebook, you know the deal, or Fantasy Jibber on Twitter, at Kevin Goatee, G-O-O-T-E-E. It is now time, Delvin Cox, to hold the hand of Sonique and guide her down the green mile to see if she can do what she came on this podcast to do. And that, of course, is gut
The sacred cow. This damn delay. Sonik, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me here. I feel like I'm like doing a dissertation or something. Okay. So first and foremost, it is boring. This movie is boring. I'm sorry. It is very boring. And no, not because it's from the 70s. And I'm saying this because I love horror from the 70s. At this point in 1979, we're at the very end of the decade. We've turned out bangers. We got The Exorcist. Boom. We got The Last House on the Left. Boom. We got Halloween. Boom. We got The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Boom. And yet, the Amityville Horror left me incredibly bored. Simply put, I feel like the coke in the 70s was way too good for this movie to be this boring.
By the way, the first two films you mentioned,
no reason.
Yeah, Exorcist I found so boring. In fact, we did this very podcast. And The Last House on the Left is and The Last House on the Left is trash. Absolutely hated it.
Wow.
But the other two
are
West Craven.
No, but Halloween is great. And what was the fourth one you had mentioned?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I get it. I'm not in love with it, but I get it. I'm not going to, I understand the, of course, the importance. It's fine, but The Exorcist is so overrated. Sorry. Go ahead. Jump it. Go back in there to your points, please.
That's totally fine. But I just feel like overall in the canon of horror, I think Amityville is typically held up as like the seminal, like haunted house movie. And I thought it was boring. I thought it was too long. I thought it lagged a lot. I was not interested in it. So that's my first point.
Mm-hmm. Why were you bored, and what made you so bored with it?
I love that you asked that, because that brings us to our next point.
Excellent.
The scares do not hit as hard as the other movies I mentioned. Like we mentioned earlier, you'd asked about the quotes. Can't think of them. I can think of quotes from the other movies. I can think of like moments from those other movies that are like, boom, that elicited a very like visceral bite. I'll do Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The scene when a homie pops out from the sliding door, knocks him on the head, and then drags him in and then shuts the door. That scene is imprinted in my mind, not just because I saw it when I was like 9, formative memory, but also just like it really tapped into a really deep fear. And I just feel like nothing about this really scared me or moved me in a way that felt like I'm locked in. It's just like, oh, okay. Like it's when the house is haunted. Like, okay. What else is new? Your house is haunted. It's not impressive. Okay.
Right.
I also, from a bigger context, I hate that this movie and, you know, and also the book, but also the hype around this unleashed Ed and Lorraine Warren onto the world. These fucking grifters. These two grifters with bat hair. The Conjuring, they're hot in that movie. The real Warrens, uggos. Like, I'm okay with saying that they're ugly and they got way too cast by very good-looking people. But totally they were unleashed in the world. After the popularity of this movie, we had the Warrens kind of like also descending onto the Amityville house to make a name for themselves and to make money. It's because of them, we also have this Ed and Lorraine Warren cinematic universe now, which I think is so strange. The Conjuring movie, the first one, okay. I don't know why we keep making movies about these people. And now the haunted things in the movies have their own movies. Now we've got this ugly ass doll, not a scary doll at all, has her own movie. Now a nun, scary, but still boring, has her own movie. And on top of that, Amityville now has like, spawned 26 additional movies outside of just the Amityville Horror. And I feel like that's insane. And they're not good. I haven't seen all 26, but the ones I've seen, they're bad movies. So a bad movie kept giving birth to, it's like a cockroach, just kept giving birth to other shitty movies.
Look at the Halloween series. Rest no case anymore. The Halloween series after one is trash. After Nightmare on Elm Street 3, 4 is all right, but it's trash.
Totally,
Which one? Sorry, the first Halloween rebuilt, the Redux from a few years ago, is solid. The second two sequels were shit.
Solid.
Yeah.
Really, I like Season of the Witch. I actually will defend Season of the Witch. I love Season of the Witch.
The song, the creepy dude.
Scream Race on Halloween, Halloween.
It's horseshit. Oh, boy. What a misnomer. It's like, let's have it under the Halloween umbrella. We have nothing to do with Michael Myers. It's fucking stupid.
So, in the defense of that, originally, excuse me, the Halloween movies were supposed to be an anthology series about like scary things happening on Halloween.
Yeah.
After the success of Michael Myers, of course, they got the sequel. They attempted to do three and go back to what they originally planned to do. People didn't like that. They wanted Michael Myers, and we ended up with like 1,000 Michael Myers movies. I kind of wish we had just done the anthology. I think it would have been kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sorry. Sorry to derail you again on that. My apologies.
No, that's totally fine. I love to wax poetic about Season of the Witch. And then, okay, there's a point, and someone who asked this question earlier, they made this point. I don't love that, you know, this movie took the actual horrific murder of the DeFeo family and made it into like a schlocky horror movie. Like, you know, I watch violent shit, but I do draw a line at like, okay, these were real people that I think deserve more than this. So justice for the DeFeos, justice for the Italianex community. I'm sure they're offended by this. I will carry that flag for them. Also, the house is not scary. A big selling point of this movie, and I'm sure you notice it in the very beginning where they have like the shot of like the windows that look like eyes. Everything's like, oh, the windows look like eyes. That's all houses. All houses look like eyes with windows. Like, that's just what they are. Like the eyes are the window to the soul. Windows are the eyes of the house. I don't understand why that is scary. It's not. Like, yeah, naturally, if you put like red demon eyes behind it, it looks kind of scary. But like on its own, that house is just a lovely Dutch colonial with lovely windows. I see no problems with this house personally.
I guess you're also a fan of this old house with Bob. Bob Vila. Thanks. Damn it! Should have had that house fast with the tip of the tongue.
Love a nice old house. Like there's no reason to assume that it's full of demons just because it's got some different windows, you know, like,
I don't know. Every time I walk in a house like that, you get shivers up your butthole. I go, something ain't right here, kids. Let's, every time you go in the basement, go, smells funny. Let's go outside instead. That mustiness gets me.
I also wonder if I don't like this movie because I'm a millennial. Now stay with me. At one point in my life, homeownership did not matter to me. I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, you know what? I'd like to own something. That'd be nice. I don't love capitalism, but I like the idea of owning something. I love that. I feel like this movie was made for boomers who have been spoiled by the privilege of homeownership, that they would leave. I hot take, I would not leave the house because buying a house is fucking hard.
Yes, it is.
Either me or the demon. Yep. I'm getting rid of this demon. There's no way I'm leaving this house. It's a sweet house. It's big. It's waterfront property with your own boathouse and a garden house that can be made into a guest house, as the realtor told them. And then after 14 days, I would have found a way to make it work.
Keep it a knockdown rebuild.
Remake of this movie with millennials, and let a demon show up at my house and tell me, after all the loans I took out, buying a fucking house, oh, you gotta leave. There's demons? No way.
Here's the Millennium version. Ready? They'd be on their phones the entire time going, did you hear that? No, that's just the Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, I would just make up reasons. I would see the glowing eyes outside of my kid's window and just be like, lights.
That's a drone. Stop it.
It's one of those fucking like lightning bugs. I don't know. Like, I'm ignoring that. Not a big deal to me. I also don't care about this family. I feel like an integral part of a haunted house movie is that you have to care about the family. It's not just like, oh, it's scary. It's like, oh, I see myself in these people and I want them to survive. I didn't care. And I don't know if it's because they were not well developed. I don't know if it's maybe because the parents were too hot. It's because they were distracting. Okay, they didn't feel like parents of three children. I feel like this is a hot young couple, And they're like dinky three kids whose names I don't know.
Right. No, you're so right. The kids
girl and two boys.
The kids didn't stand out until the one would lock the babysitter in the closet, didn't move, and the babysitter was in the closet, and the other one just sat there talking to her imaginary friend. The other two boys were just doing that, whatever the hell they were doing, probably finding their dad's old Playboys and just snapping them off in the closet.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't get these people. I don't understand them. Like, I know they tried to establish, and I know this is based off of like a true story. It was a stepfather and their children. But even with James Brolin, I wonder if he was miscast because like they want to establish like, okay, he's like a stepfather. So there is a little bit distance between him and the kids. But even as he's going crazy, he doesn't seem much different than we first met him. He's just a little bit agitated, which I just figure is like, that's dads in the 70s, I imagine. They're just like a little bit pissed off.
I just thought he was on coke.
You saw him chopping the wood?
Yeah.
That man is on drugs.
He chopped more wood than George Washington, for Christ's sakes.
Right.
I mean, but that's also, I think, indicative of the time. You kind of touched on that. Well, dads in the 70s weren't all touchy feely. That came later on, you know.
And that's fair. But I think that it kind of takes away from like the stark contrast of like something is wrong. If anything, I'm like, oh, he's just kind of cold. Maybe he has an iron problem. Ever thought about that? Get this guy some iron supplements. I'm not immediately like, oh, he's possessed. I'm like, oh, he's just like kind of crabby. Like until he starts like hitting his wife and I'm like, oh, too much. Before that, it's like, okay, he's just kind of like sweaty and like dick. Yeah. Like it's not that big of a scene.
Very true.
Yeah. And my last point, I personally hate the imaginary friend trope in movies, in horror movies, especially. Kids have imaginary friends. That's a very normal developmental stage you go through. But too many times the kids are too old to either have an imaginary friend or they're too old to even believe that the imaginary friend is real. I had imaginary friends. I had an imaginary squad before Taylor Swift did. I had a squad of imaginary friends. I was aware that they were fake. I made them up. They were not, I did not see them. I was like, yeah, I'm not talking to anything. I'm doing this. It's never believable for me when kids have imaginary friends in movies and are having full conversation and they're like, Jody said, I can't open the door. Like, I don't know. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. It always takes me out of the movie.
Noted. What other, any other points or is that all?
Those are my big ones. I'm sure some more are going to pop up. They bought that house for $80,000. Which also just made me a hater. I was like, fuck you.
I got it right here too.
That's not Sydney. A point. That's just like being mad at like at inflation. Yes.
Give me a number for your opinion on this film, 1 to 10, please.
One being the worst, 10 being the best.
That is how it's usually done, yes.
Yes. I would rate this movie at a 2.53.
2.5.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Okay, so Lord Snurts has given his scores, and I'll be going beat by beat. He has you down for a 2. So Snurts, not even knowing who you are, pretty much right on top of that. Delvin Cox, yes, again, Snurt, don't play poker with Snurts. He's damn good. DC, why don't you jump in the ring and start throwing some jabs at a shadow here? Let's go.
All right. I have a lot of notes.
You don't say.
See my phone. I have literally 2 pages of notes for this movie. I'm not going to go through all these notes because there's too much shit to talk about. I will say this. I heard a podcast not too long ago. That's funny how we're doing this movie. About this same Amityville Horror situation, the real story behind it. And the podcast was far more entertaining than this goddamn movie. And the podcast had Chris Jericho on it, so you know it couldn't have been that entertaining. So, let's get right to it. Some of my notes. Little to no lighting does not make a movie scary. This is a fact. Just because you badly light the movie doesn't make it scary or make it good. This movie should have 100% be called White People Doing White People Shit. Because everything in this movie
I had the over under 2.5 minutes that you were going to say white people shit. And I clocked that with ease. I knew you were to say that.
You goddamn right you did, Kevin. Every moment of me watching the movie, like, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? This is not something that normal people do. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to go along for the ride. Another problem with this movie, this house was like 6 degrees from being a crack house. I don't know how this realtor was trying to sell this house to people where shit was all over the place, laugh was broken. The house was like shit. It's like, oh, we want $80,000 for this. I'm like, fuck you. I'm leaving. You ain't even gonna clean this shit up, bitch. The house looked a fucking mess. And she's like, well, it's a beachfront property. Fuck off. There's no way I would take that house. It looked like a dope house. And then what made it even worse, after they moved in, they didn't even clean shit up. It still looked fucked up. It's like they didn't even move in. It looked like the house from Good Times. and if you noticed, the people in Good Times were poor. So their house was supposed to look like crap. Let me get this. The quick flashes of the shotgun blast in the movie, in the beginning when it was showing the death, wasn't scary. It was fucking stupid and annoying. You know, I didn't like that part. Then, going back to your point earlier, $80,000 for a 2-story house with a view of a lake. Yeah, I'd fuck the ghost for that price. That was a fucking deal. I also appreciate how the people who moved in knew that somebody was murdered. They were like, ah, fuck it, I'm moving. I don't care. Like it's a whatever. Like the real estate agent told them someone was murdered in the house. They ain't trying to get a better deal. They were like, well, it's good enough. Ain't no way.
Should have haggled. Should have haggled
a little bit. Like, $80,000, I'd give you 60 for it. People died here.
I mean, yeah, 4 people died. I think that's like about a $10,000 deduction for both. So give me 40 and we'll call it even.
Ramp it exactly. Up. There were kids, dead kids. That's even better. I'm like, no, we're going up.
and the fact of the matter is, I know for me from hearing the podcast about it, that actually happened. People would try to move. They couldn't rent that house for a long time because people knew the story of it. Then when people rented the house, they were just like, ah, fuck this. Weird shit's happening. And they would move the fuck out. And that was the story of the house for a long time. So,
All right.
Here's another thing. Every time I saw the main guy, what is his name? I can't remember.
James Brolin.
James Brolin. He looked like Michael McDowell, so I just kept singing Michael McDowell's songs in my head. Like, just every time I saw him, I would just start humming, what a fool believes. Just singing random Michael McDowell songs and stuff like that. The next thing was I noticed about this movie. Did the flies have, like, magical powers in this movie? Because, like, when the pastor went to open the door, the flies were just sitting there. He was trying to open it. He couldn't open the door. He just sat there just letting the flies crawl over him. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Why don't you just leave? It's a bunch of flies, and everybody's just, like, in trance because of these dirty-ass flies. It's so disgusting, but they were just okay. Everybody was just okay with this.
It's like that Simpsons meme where Abraham Simpson, whistling as he walks in, takes his hat and coat off and puts something on the hook by the door. then just does a circle and grabs his hat and coat off the rack again, puts it on and just walks right the back out. That's exactly, yeah, exactly. What common sense would have done. That's for sure.
Let me tell you, if that was a black family, they saw all them goddamn flies, the first thing they're like, who left that goddamn door open? They would have said that and went and got some Raid.
Would there be a lot of, this shit ain't happening, I think would be
pretty much
a lot said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, a part that kind of made me laugh the movie, my man sure didn't get the fuck out of that house and that ghost said, get out. He cleared it the fuck out of there.
Like, he's like, that must be the wind, or oh, the TV's pretty loud, huh?
But see, you know, and that's the one time where it helps being like religious, because like you already kind of believe in magic. So you're like, yes. I don't need to ask questions. I'm like, I'm leaving.
let me get to that position you brought it up. Let me get to that part. How come this man went and told the other pastors or whatever the fuck you want to call them about the ghost? And they were like, just take a vacation. None of them said, hey, we should go check this out. This is like kind of our fucking job. We should go see what's going on in this house. They're like, nah.
Okay.
They made a movie about it. They made a movie about it 7 years ago called The Exorcist. They could have went in there and done some shit. Go, hey, we finally get to do something besides touch young boys. Yip, hip, hooray.
This is like a common, this other thing, I made a point about this. It was like not a big point, but a small point. In all of these Call the Priest movies, there's always, I think it's a very 70s demon movie thing, because it was like after Vatican II, for a little history. Mm-hmm. There's always a line where they're like, oh, there's a demon in a child or a house. And then they have to do a plot point about the bureaucracy of getting the church involved, because they're like, hey, we're trying to like clean up our image. We can't be out here like doing demon shit. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church is doing a lot of other shit.
Yes.
They need a PR for, but they're doing like PR. It's like, oh no, we have to like make sure people don't think we're kooky. So we have to like, oh man, you're just crazy.
So
like,
to be
we don't
clear,
have demons.
Touching kids, okay.
Okay.
Touching demons, not okay. They're like, that's
how Michael.
That's
how Michael Jackson felt, I think, and Kevin Spacey.
That is where they draw the line, apparently.
You want us to do work? Fuck that. Go on vacation.
And see, and that's where I would win as a priest, because there's like, when you do the exorcism, you get to dress up. You put on the special robes, the special sash. There's like theatrics. I would love. I'm like, oh, if you do improv, can you imagine? Like, oh, the possibilities. Like, I'm yes handing my way through this exorcism. I'd be so excited. But they're like, no, we're not doing it. Like, no, let's do it.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell. Yes, and.
And also assholes. Yes. You're so right, demon.
Also, another thing I want to bring up.
Margot Robbie and Margot Kidder are two very different looking white women. One of them is a smoke show. The other one was attractive for her time, but nowhere near in the same league as the other one. Let's make sure crystal clear.
Why are you talking about Margot Robbie like that?
Margot Robbie is like Jordan dunking on Muggsy Bogues. Let's just make sure we're very clear about
that. I spent this whole movie being like, wow, she's so pretty. Like the whole, I'm like, wow,
pretty,
she's like so pretty.
But not Margot Robbie pretty. Very attractive. No one's saying she's ugly, Sinead.
Well,
no one's saying
the 70s. They weren't doing fillers yet.
I get it. I get that. But
the same way inflation works with the house, like.
Right. Not in the same. That's
give
like you're trying to say like Sophia Loren versus Sophia Vergara. Like boy.
She was a 70s eight, Kevin.
I have no problem with that. Zero problem with that. But in the same class of like, is she as hot as? No, I can't do that.
Pshaw.
You're allowed to disagree and be wrong, but you're still allowed to disagree.
I think the aunt in this film was a piece of shit. She walked in the house, felt the demon, didn't tell her family shit, and just left. Just like, I can't be here. And left and never came back. She tried calling.
That's what she did. She decided to get on the phone and say, I can't show up in person because of that, so I'll just try and call. And, it's busy, or... Yeah. It's like an AOL dial-up connection.
Her ass probably tried, knowing her trifling ass, she probably tried to call 1-800-COLLECT.
And then she did, and then she did the little thing. Hey, you guys, the house is possessed. Get out of there right now. And then that was her greeting.
Oh man. Oh, speaking of other things about this.
Had
film.
A baby, it's a boy. A boy. That was hers.
Like Shanique said, fuck this family. Fuck these kids. I don't give a fuck about none of these people. All these people were just like boring, uninteresting, just obnoxious. Like I hate these people. The dad's terrible. The mom, I don't give a fuck about. The kids, the funniest part in the whole movie to me, the part that made me laugh out loud is when the fucking kid was locked inside the closet. Then the dad comes up and says, there's no lock on this door.
Right.
How are you locked inside of here? And then when they pull that point out, and the dad just goes and opens it again, closes it. Like, see?
That'll do it.
Stupid. There's no lock on here, stupid. And then they asked his daughter, why didn't you open the door? She's like, well, my imaginary friend told me not to. Then they're like, why did you see your imaginary friend? Why are you getting mad at her if you just tested the door and it worked fine? Clearly, this child is stupid.
Yeah, if the dad's quite liberal with the slapping, he might as well just belt at the daughter one for being dopey. Like, open the door. I got to pay her double time and a half now because you locked her in here, bitch. Slap. I expected that, but did not get that.
But the funny thing about it was he knows there was no lock on the door. So clearly, if in logical sense, the babysitter is stupid. Like, there's right. No way to lock the door.
I like how the door had blood marks on it because she kept knocking on the door. Bitch, yes. Try kicking that shit down. I mean, come on. Put a shoulder or an elbow in it.
Put your head.
Oh, that's painful. I had that. I'll talk about that in my notes. That shit is painful.
Oh my god, really?
Oh yeah. I'll talk about it. Don't worry.
I've never seen that. I always thought it was a TV thing. I was like, is that real?
No, you wear it to bed. It's called night gear. I know.
What happened is when you're old like Kevin Goatee.
I'm sorry.
You have things like that.
when you're what like me? You're old.
When you grew up like in the 60s and 40s when they didn't have like good dentists, that's what they used.
Motherfucker, I was born in 76. Shut your stupid mouth.
The scene where they burst the wall open, they see the Force Ghost of George is hilarious.
The Force Ghost.
Yes, they have like the CGI of him there. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Am I watching Star Wars? But it's just that this movie sucks. I'm gonna call a straight. I'll call a spade a spade. This movie is terrible. It is fucking awful. There's only one scary scene in this whole film, and it happens during the end. This movie's 2 hours long. It should not be no more than an hour and a half because nothing fucking happens. These people are terrible. Then the funny part is they get out the house and this fucking guy goes back for the fucking dog. The house is fucking full
come
of blood.
On. You know that.
I would go back.
That dog. That dog's
too. I'm going. If the house is haunted and trying to kill me, those fuckers are dead. You better come with me. Come with me if you want to live, because if you're not in the car by the time I get there, I feel sorry for you.
Delvin, you live in South Florida. There are plenty of places for you to find dogs to do pit fighting down there. So I'm sure it's not a problem for you.
Exactly, not a problem at all.
There are a lot of pit bulls running down there in Miami. I'm sure you can easily pick two up the streets and have them dog fight in your backyard like you normally do.
Of course,
I'm kidding. I'm not insinuating dog fighting on anyone's part. It's horrible.
Yes, he is.
You're the worst. What else you got?
But,
is that it?
But my final thing I want to say about this movie, fuck this fucking movie. This shit would never fucking happen to black people. The end. Thank
give
you.
Me an, give me the number.
2. This movie's fucking awful.
2. Delvin Cox, Lord Snurts has you at a 3.
Snurts, you lied.
It's not that far off. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com. Go grab yourself a hat, mug, bag, shirt, whatever. Also, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you want to say hi or to advertise with us, because you know we love a little bit of revenue. And last and not least, love of Christ, leave us that 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review on your podcast platform of choice. I love screen shooting my favorites and sharing them on social media. Notes. I can't believe you guys missed this. The opening scene where the coroner comes to the house. Who's there? Principal Strickland from Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
To quote Martin McFly, geez, did that guy ever have hair? Answer, no. Especially back in 1979. James Brolin, or as I know him, playing Pee-wee in the hotel scene of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. No one else wanted to shout that out. Okay.
Paging Mr. Urban.
You know it. I just spit out my water when she complained, as you said, Sinead, the house was $80,000. The house on the water right now, $1.8 million, I guarantee you.
Facts.
Oh, no. We bought out this whole house. Jesus Christ, it's a mansion. I swear I wrote this down. I swear that is the Save the Clock Tower woman. It was the realtor from Back to the Future. Just did a quick Google, and I'm right. That was,
oh, it was?
The Save the Clock Tower woman. Oh, my God. I'm good.
Good job, that, KG.
Thanks, right, pal. That's two people from Back to the Future in 9 minutes of this film.
Weird.
Right? What's next? A baby Biff running around there trying to complain about that he hears a knocking in his bedroom window? Zooming in for 3 seconds on the crucifix that he just hung on that wall. The director needs to be a little less obvious because it's his subtlety is about as subtle as a ghost pepper in your eyeball with his foreshadowing. The focusing on that crucifix, you go, one, two, three. Okay, we get it. Something's going to happen with this crucifix later on. It's so blatant. How do the flies get inside without anyone trying to shoo them away? As a man of the cloth, I highly doubt he can afford such high quality heroin where it can numb the senses of flies tingling on your face. Nothing like Lois Lane doing leg stretches in her bedroom with her titties hanging out to break up the monotony of moving into a possessed house.
That was so random.
Yeah.
And appreciated.
And also, I mean, like, yeah, like, cool, but also...
Why?
Like, cool, boobs, I don't mind. But, like, then she got startled. I thought, my first thought was, like, oh, is she, like, trying to, like, seduce her husband? Like, oh, she's like, I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to do, like, my stretches. He's going to come in. Because he has her bow. She's like, kind of, like, you know, suited up. Like, she's ready. And then he walks in, and it's, like, a jump scare. And I'm like, oh, I thought we were, like, this was foreplay. Like, no, it's not. You're just doing it. Okay, the door's open. Your kids are here. Okay.
Yeah, like, yeah. That'd be funnier if they had all the flies circling her private parts, like, as a pubic hair nest of flies. That would have been funnier.
Oh.
Didn't you see Scary God. Movie 2? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Rule one, Lois Lane, lock the door when you're knocking boots so your kids don't interrupt. You've got three kids. You're from a previous marriage. You know how the rules are. Stolen all, grasp your clothes in a hurry thing, and he's got to tuck his boner into something really fast. Like, no, be a
and
professional.
They're pretty old.
Right.
They're not like little kids. They're like old enough.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have door knobs work.
Right. Like, and yeah, let them start knocking at the door and ask, what's going on? And that's when you reply, Mommy and I are just having a tickle fight. That's the all answer you give. Again, the shot setups are so goddamn lazy. The scene where he's sitting around smoking a cigarette, but the window is in clear view in the background. I go, oh, okay. Why are we looking at this angle? 2 seconds later, the cat jumps out. Like, okay. That surprised no one. So again, we don't need a three Mississippi because that just gives away any element of surprise / jump scare. Is blessing someone's house still a thing? Do people come to that? The priest come to the house to have you bless? Is that?
Yes.
I'm atheist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought that having a sign above your stove that said, bless this mess, cures everything.
It's like the ABC blockout for like the cootie shot. And it's like, it's just,
oh, yeah.
Bless this mess, we're good.
I've seen orange traffic cones with more personality than James Brolin's character. How about you?
I agree.
Is it bad that I thought he got hotter the crazier he
I mean, we just learned a little bit more about you. That's for sure.
Should I unpack that? I was like, ooh, he's like kind of handsome.
Sinique's watching this. She starts chopping wood. She's like, God, I got these panties off. They are too cumbersome.
I'm just like, you know, I like a man that's going through it. and that's my cross to bear.
I was just gonna say,
stare for 3 seconds.
Did you stand outside like psychiatrist's office, licking your lips and taking notes, and just giving a guy an eyebrow arch as people walked in and out of their therapy sessions?
Yeah.
So I got my husband. Yeah.
That sounds about all right. Checks out. Hey, by the way, you do all know that James Brolin has this kid, you know, Josh Brolin, got attacked by a bunch of dork kids tied to a chair in a little film called Goonies. Overrated. And then, of course, he snapped his fingers and half the population disappeared in the Avengers. Gotcha. It's weird. Every movie in the 70s involved slapping women, I think. There's about 85% of these films I watch. I just watched another one. I'll talk about it and ask, what did we watch? And they also had a shitty theme song that shoehorned the title of the movie in it while the credits rolled. Thank Christ we have moved past that. What was the film to kind of move that away? Star Wars, which got sued by the I think PGA or DGA, because they had the credits at the end and they had the scroll at the beginning. So, but the theme song part, never got that. Although I do miss TV theme songs. We're being robbed of that, folks. And I want retribution because not a week goes by I don't hum the Knight Rider theme out of some kind of boredom.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. If they brought Shlomo the Rabbi into the haunted house instead of a priest, would he experience the same difficulties the priest has, even though he does not believe in the devil? Or would he just complain and nag all the evil spirits out of the house? What would he do?
Latter.
Thank you.
The latter. Also, pause. I want more of that. I'm kind of tired of horror movies with like a demon called priest, like called a mom. What did a mom do? What would a rabbi do? I've not seen that, and I think that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's we like, need a subject change. You know? Let's turn the page on that one, right, guys? We've seen enough that chapter.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Call like an old Haitian mom.
Oh, she's gonna do voodoo and shit.
Who knows?
No. I would call my mom. My mom's a Christian. She would do it. She's an African lady. She'll do it.
I live in the hood. I live like Little Haiti. There are a lot of Haitian women who will tell you all about the stuff they've seen. And when they see stuff like that, they will tell you about voodoo and how it's happening. And they will tell you how to put shit on your house to keep that shit away. It is a fact.
Yeah. Next thing you know, Delvin's going to find a dead raccoon skin nailed to his door.
I found weirder.
My mom has been seeing angels, allegedly, since she was a child. So I'm just like, I'm calling that lady up.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
I had that same headgear the babysitter had who got locked in the closet. Let me tell you, I haven't drowned in as much pussy when I had that thing on than I do now. Can you imagine 12-year-old me wearing that shit? It was an absolute eyesore thing. But listen, my teeth look fucking fantastic. So thanks, Mom and Dad. Thank you.
Feel great.
Thank you. Oh, another compliment, Sonique. Well, hello to you too. Hey, here's another one. Holy shit. The main priest, boss, is the mayor from Jaws, Delvin Cox. Did you not see
that? Fuck that movie.
Fuck you. You're the worst.
Do you hate Jaws?
He does. He came on this podcast, Sonique, really to try and tell us why Jaws sucks. And let me tell you, he got more anal rape than Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction did. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Like, that movie is good.
It's great. It's flawless. Now, if only he wore that sweet-ass anchor suit jacket, he would be the Bradley Cooper of priests. So far, in about minute 45, this movie's neither here nor there for me. It's cheese, but not blatant over-the-top cheese, like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Anytime I'm in a house and I hear the words Get Out, I do exactly that. I don't care if someone's talking about the movie Get Out. I still just get out.
Exactly. Smart man.
This family is garbage. All these flies buzzing around and no one gets vinegar or bug spray or Christ almighty, call an exterminator. This is the same type of people that probably take bars of soap and jam them into their ass crack without using a washcloth.
Ugh. People do that?
Yes, people do that.
Yeah. Yep.
Do they share it?
The bar of soap without using washcloths? Yes. I don't live with them, thankfully.
This is a thing.
I was just like learning so much in this podcast.
James Brolin sleeps in a long sleeve shirt and tidy whiteies. Not exactly the uniform that you come down the stairs half asleep to check out a suspicious sound in.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to tackle a robber when you've got a semi night boner wearing tidy whiteies, right?
Yeah.
That's why you do it naked. You scare the robber.
Oh, and then you threaten rape upon him. Now you're talking.
I wouldn't go so far, but just like, are you going to attack someone who's like naked, just like right down the stairs? You're not.
That's hilarious. You hear a sound, you start fluffing up before you grab the shotgun. I just come downstairs. You really want some of this? And you start chasing them, trying to pull their pants down. They'll never come back. You don't need the Ring camera anymore. You've solved that problem. I want this movie remade with black people. I'm not pandering to you too. I want to see this made with black people. Why? Because I'm gonna there'd be way more calling the devil a quote bitch ass motherfucker and slapping the kids when they tell you they have invisible friends who talk crazy shit. That's the movie I want to see. James Brolin goes to a library and takes a book and puts it down his pants. Does the Amityville library charge for you to take out books, unlike every single library I know that takes them out for free? He stole the book. It's free. It's not Barnes and Noble. Okay. It's free. You don't have to jam it in your pants, close your jacket around it and kind of shimmy on out of there. That doesn't happen. Devlin Cox.
Maybe he's fucking
it's up
book.
On books.
Josh Brolin looks like a cross between Mick Foley and Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
I agree.
The business partner, he needed more meat instead of just taking a punch and going, I'm sorry, man, but I still love you.
That was a weird thing.
And how much business partnering do you need in a land survey business? I'm sitting there going, what business do they do? And they see the van drive says land surveyors. You go, oh, that must be number three in the all time when you meet a guy at a bar, Sneak of, what do you do for a living? Land surveyor. Ooh, you might as well just get some sandpaper because that's not an exciting industry.
I don't even know what that is. And I don't think I'm a dumb person. I think I know jobs, but like, I'd be like, what the fuck is that? It sounds made up. He's not a job.
I'm not even going to Google. I'm pretty sure it's when you see those dudes on the road standing with those tripods and looking at those weird like binocular things and looking at a piece of land to see how flat or curved or whatever it is. And I think that's what it is.
That is correct.
I thought they were doing community service.
No. They wear orange little fleeces and they pick up trash on the side of the highway, Shanique.
Those are called criminals.
Yes, we know that, Delvin. Thank you for bringing that joke around third base. I don't know.
I see an orange vest and I'm just like, that's no good.
Wait,
the crosswalk lady, I'm like,
You see an orange vest and you go, no good. But you see a guy chopping wood maniacally who's probably possessed by a devil and you go, I think I could fuck him.
Like, I could change him.
Yeah. they call that the Pete Davidson syndrome, I hear. Oh, good. It only took an hour and 15 for that crucifix to fall down to pay off that setup an hour and 15 ago. Yay.
It's Chekhov's crucifix.
Yeah, the gun. Chekhov's gun. Exactly. I love that. So we're 2 weeks and these dumb dildos still haven't said, too much crazy shit going on here. Let's grab a hotel tonight. What do you say? These parents need to have Dyfus take their kids away from them. This is horse shit.
Yes, I agree.
The house bleeding is less shocking to this family than a tree branch busting through the window in a storm. You talk about misplaced priorities. And you think that they would come back and say, let me just dig a little deeper besides falling in that pit of black blood or whatever that was. What was really there? You're not going to send the cops in there. You're not going to send anybody. No one else has been in there to find out what the hell that is. And that is the laziest ending of them all. Go back, get the dog. Okay, fine. Peel away. Credits. They left all their shit and never came back. Fiend. Fuck you. I know quasi that's how it ended, but you couldn't have anybody, again, police, real estate agents, homeless guys trying to, just crash out there in the house for whatever reasons. No one goes in there. Couldn't have a hand grab their leg and drag them in or something cute like that or fun. Something to kind of really tie up with a bone set of credits. I thought that was insanely lazy. Not a fan.
Yeah. Poltergeist did it better.
I will tell you this.
Just this?
If I was this family, the ending credits should have been them asking for their goddamn money back for this house.
Right.
Like, you sold me this bullshit-ass house? Give me my fucking money back.
You know the real estate agent went back and started giggling like, cash a check, cash a check, cash a check.
That would have been a really funny like end credit scene though. You just like wait, like they're just like sitting in the real estate office, just like worthless. It's like I have a lovely at least. It was something.
He should have went in the real estate office covered in the blood. Just covered in the blood. Like, no, I'm not leaving till I get my goddamn money back.
Covered in blood with his long sleeve shirt on and tidy whiteies and asking for his money back. That was the scene to close out on. Yes. I'm not a horror fan, as we've discussed before. I understand it's the 70s, so you're going to give a little bit of leeway. I didn't hate this. I didn't like it. Let's be frank. I didn't like this. I didn't despise it. Will I watch it again? No chance in hell. Was I scared? No, because all of the scares were telegraphed. And if this house is so scary, no one died?
Yeah. No one.
No one dies. Okay.
That's true.
Maybe because they didn't die in real life, but they're also saying that in real life, a lot of this shit was made up. So if you're taking liberties, might as well go the full Monty. I give this a 4 out of 10. Now, what does Snurts have? 4? Well, you got me again, Snurts. Good on you. I really job, just had Snurts. To written down that. Yeah, he's killing it. Let's see what the critics have to say in critics 5-star reviews. Dated by today's standards, but still effectively creepy moments. No.
No.
Dry, dumb, and periodically somewhat dull, but still packs enough of a haunted house wallop to warrant a skeptical visit.
No.
No.
The first part, yes. Right. Second part, no.
A chilling horror wrapped up in a disturbing family drama in spite of its dubious true crime roots. Even James, bullshit artist, that's who. Even James Brolin said, I didn't buy it, but he said he read the script, though. He didn't buy their story, but he read the script and was just revelated. And I'm sorry, captivated, that's the right word, excuse me. And read it from like 7 a.m. till like 7 a.m. till 4 a.m. But he still says it's dubious with all that stuff that went on. Critics, 1-star reviews. A pack of flies. Oh, we forgot to talk about this guy. Swarm all over Father Delaney. Then again, Rod Steiger's howling performance as the priest. It just could be the flies like reeking ham. It's so funny. I saw this once before. I've seen Scary Movie. I forgot how hard they parodied this film because I thought it was just 85% Exorcist. And when I rewatched Exorcist, I was saying to myself, there weren't any flies in here. Like, what was that whole fly? Like, I can't breathe, cough, cough, cough. And I'm watching this. I go, oh, that's it. That's where this comes from. But you're right. The overacting here was full force. It was Jim Carrey, Riddler, Tommy Lee Jones, Batman Forever, over the top horse shit.
It felt like outdated too. I feel like by 79, we were seeing a lot more like naturalistic performances. It felt very like almost old Hollywood, like kind of just like that over the top. Like I should have had like transatlantic accents, like get out of the house, it's haunted. Like, I don't know. It felt like very like, what is like, who are these people?
Like a school play.
Yeah, maybe they were on coke.
He looked like he was ready to break into iambic pentameter and then maybe into a song.
Yeah, it was rough.
The family sticks around to sample the entire range of demonic poltergeist effects while Rod Steiger, a priest who tries to help, is laid up in bed, perhaps due to a chronic case of overacting. I smell a theme. The film's reputation exceeds its achievements, and the true story angle has been vigorously disputed. That's not really a 1-star review, but here we sit.
Is that something?
Worst of all is the gore, of which there is really any. That rare horror film that has a body count of 0. Ha! There you have it. Amazon 5-star reviews. I was not in the country when this was originally released, so it's new to me. Though the story is certainly familiar, it's pretty decent, not at all too dated. I'm happy Brolin had some serious hair. Signed, Mr. Belvedere. All right. Well. This is a great movie that I've watched several times on demand. When I stay in New York, I stay in a place that is very near Amityville, and actually, it's a nice area. However, when the hotel clerk was giving directions, he never said it was Amityville. I just happened to notice an almost hidden sign on the exit ramp of the expressway. Ha ha. was this, Frommer's fucking watered down version here? Bearded Brolin at one of his best, and that chick who looks like Lois Lane but hotter. Signed, Christopher Reeve. There you have it.
That was the actual review? The chick that looks like Lois Lane?
Cut and paste, baby. Cut and paste.
That motherfucker is stupid.
Yeah. Oh, God damn. If you pause it on Amazon Video, it says Margot Kidder. If you watch enough films and think yourself, consider yourself an above average film fan, you should know that name.
I'm curious who you thought it was. The chick that looks like who?
He's like, is that Linda Carter?
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. Great horror film, and now all caps. But entirely a lie. It is not a true story. It was a plot between the author and the Lutz family to make some dough. Sign, the Blair Witch Crew. Okay, well, that makes back staff to me. Amazon 1-star reviews. Awful. Not scary at all. And the story makes no sense. No ending. It just stops. Weird religious overtones. The only good thing about the movie was the score, which was quite well done. I disagree. That the kids sing. It's been done annoying. To death. We don't need any more. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Horrible. No animals or mammals harmed here, right? Does the boy here look like Macaulay Culkin? Signed, Kevin Spacey. Well, that makes perfect sense, too.
There you go.
Rod Steiger is way over the top as a Catholic priest and has an unfortunate scene where he's sitting on a bench wrapped in a babushka like an old Russian lady. That's true. Margo, he went deaf mute because of the flies. Isn't that what happens with the Spanish flu and malaria? No. Margot Kidder's character does nothing but react the entire time, just like Shelley Duvall did in The Shining, another overrated film. And sheesh, she sure had ugly legs as evidenced in the scene where she's standing in front of the mirror. And the less said about Brolin's performance, the better. Parentheses, it's all the hair. Signed, Whoopi Goldberg. Her legs were good. What are you
ugly
talking about?
Ugly legs? Not okay, virgin. Like, what are you talking about?
She has a great body. Last one. When George slapped Kathy, I was hoping she would pick something up from the mantle and hit him over the head with it. But yet again, I was let down. The woman selling the house was the only one with sense. As soon as she got her money, she ran the hell away from that house. This movie perfectly shows you what idiot would just have to sit around and wait for danger. Every time something happened, they just sat around scratching their heads. Please don't waste your time or money on this garbage. Delvin Cox and Sineek Smythe got that sacred cow.
Absolutely. Great job.
I think she kind of just nudged it over the edge of the cattle prodding. This film hung itself. There's no one's running around here, though, discussing about how great this is, like a top horror film. I don't hear my horror film friends kind of like putting this on the Mount Rushmores or even the top tens. This horror film.
But it gets like, but you know, it's not one that I feel like I hear people say, but like in certain circles, like Stephen King, like spoke very highly, like they kind of like dug into it. I was like, oh, it was like an allegory for the economic, issues of the 70s and the housing crisis. I don't know, Kevin, you were there.
Motherfucker, I was 3 years old when this came out. Let's not go
bullshit.
Nuts.
Sorry.
What was the housing market like in the 79? You can tell us.
Let me tell you something, kids. We didn't have all these fancy phones in your pocket. We had a phone that was cordless, all right? We had to find our nudie magazines in the woods and trade them as collateral with friends. Barter.
Like, Felix the cat phone.
Not Felix the cat.
Oh, you millennials are such horrible people, but go ahead, please.
What was it like? What was it like when they invented color?
Not people. TVs.
Not people. No, actually, like everything was a black and white, and then they did color. Everyone's gonna go, "What's your?"
Delvin, you're witnessing the last episode of Sineek Smythe on this podcast, so you're gonna say goodbye to her.
This is the greatest episode of Cut the Sacred Cow.
Oh, you two are just fucking cads. All right, let's find out who's funnier, ChatGPT or KG. I asked ChatGPT to write 3 jokes because I don't believe in torturing you, except for Sineek. I should give you 5 because you know. Making fun of me because I'm older. Joke number one. Why did the ghost from the Amityville Horror get a job at the bakery? because it wanted to prove it could make killer pastries.
Boo!
Get them key. Get those keys out, kids.
Unplug it.
What did the real estate agent say she found out the house was haunted in the Amityville Horror? Well, at least it comes with built-in roommates.
No.
See more jokes like these at the Eastville open mic at 6 o'clock. What's a ghost's favorite room in the Amityville house? The living room, of course. It's where all the action happens. That's just fucking lazy, ChatGPT. ChatGPT 0, KG26. I stand undefeated. This is, listen.
I think the WGA writers are safe.
They can write taglines for jingles for commercials, but they sure as shit can't write jokes. Kevin Goatee saying, Delvin Cox, thanks again for hopping on. Sineek Smythe, you're a joy and a treasure. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll see everybody later. Avita Zen.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.